So LinkedIn, is it just a digital resume? What are some of the strategies for engaging? We ask, why do we care? Daniel Alphen, a LinkedIn expert, joins us today on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Well, Daniel, for our listeners, you pitched me really well. And anybody who knows this show knows that I tend to be really careful about making sure that I'm talking to people. But you did your research and had understood that one of the premises I'm always looking for is, why do we care? So I'm going to start out right away with, okay, LinkedIn. Why should we care? Besides the obvious answer of, hey, marketing, give me a little bit more. Why should we care more about LinkedIn than we might right now?
Excellent. So Dave, the BizTech audience, when we Google the owner, the listener, then we'll find their LinkedIn profile tops the Google search results. So if they've worked hard on their reputation, managing their LinkedIn presence and not only opening an account and forgetting about it is important, because their prospect, the small firm that wants to hire an IT services or managed services, are going to use LinkedIn as one way to decide whether they reach out to that company or not.
All right. Now, to do that seems intuitively obvious to me, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe not everyone gets it, but it seems an element of like, well, you log into LinkedIn, you make sure it's up to date with current information and make it sort of your online resume. Am I wrong? Is there a lot more to it than that?
I wouldn't say you're wrong, but I would like to fine tune it a bit. Because many LinkedIn users, LinkedIn has over 800 million users, and every second two people sign up. So it's the largest business network. But if you own an IT services firm, then what you need to think about is not using LinkedIn as your online CV, but as a website, because for your prospect, it doesn't really matter whether you joined SolarWinds in 2018 or 2016. What matters to them is your ability to explain how you can help them. So think about your ideal audience. Ask yourself, what sort of action would you like them to perform if they visit your LinkedIn profile, and see how you can minimize that gap. Simply think of your LinkedIn profile as a website that needs to convert your ideal reader. And on LinkedIn, that doesn't mean the company page, that means your individual profile.
Okay, now I'm gonna make sure I'm focusing in the right place, because it's my sense that the company page is nearly useless. Am I right or wrong there?
You're absolutely right. And why should we care about it? We should care about your individual profile, because the MSP radio followers is probably less than 200, whereas you have 1,000 or 5,000 followers on LinkedIn. And that would be the proportion for most of our listeners. So forget about the page. Just set it up and look at it every 6 months. And the day-to-day marketing and lead generation is not going to happen on the page. It's going to happen through your own individual LinkedIn profile. You're absolutely right.
Okay, now isn't there a disjointed nature, particularly if I'm thinking about our audience, those MSPs and IT services companies and stuff. So they're trying to promote their company. But if LinkedIn is looking for an individual person, how do I reconcile that disparity there?
There is some complexity here, but when you're the owner of a company and you're the face of the company, and the prospect doesn't call the company and say, can you send it someone? They would ask for Dave, they would ask for John, they would ask for someone specific. So you represent your company, but if your staff is basically you and maybe a few other freelancers, then you are the face of the company, and your individual profile should be the entity you're managing and proudly saying, this is who I serve through my company. My company is called MSP XYZ, whatever, but this is me as a person.
How much content am I supposed to be producing for LinkedIn? Because if I think this through, right, my updates for what I do and who I am and such are probably annual, maybe every 6 months if I'm really aggressive in terms of me and my career. But is that enough? Because I would think that there's a balance of posting stuff, but you could easily see this becoming too much, right? You could be an over, like, I don't want to be sharing so much that I end up annoying people. Like, how do I figure out what the balance is for content out on LinkedIn?
Excellent. I don't think you need to focus on LinkedIn if you're a small firm on content production and content sharing. The question I would say is this. I don't think you need to produce content for the sake of LinkedIn. But if you produce high quality, educational, evergreen content every 6 months, then please, Dave, make sure that this content is also shared smartly on LinkedIn. Producing that high quality content may take, you know, hours, but sharing it on LinkedIn will take seconds or minutes. You don't have to produce content. Most of our connections are not that interested in us sharing or oversharing to death. We don't need to hijack the feed. We are judged by the quality of the latest update, whether it was 6 months ago or yesterday morning. That doesn't matter for our audience.
All right. So far, we've spent a little bit of time on what I would consider maybe the setup portion of this, right? So I've set up my LinkedIn page. I've got my profile reasonably well put together. It describes what I do. It describes who I am and the services that I offer. What's the typical interaction like LinkedIn supposed to be? Do I log in every day? Is this a weekly thing? Is it a, and what do I do when I'm there? Is it just read the feed and move on? Like, what's the right way to, the recommended way to leverage the tool?
Excellent question. My answer would be this. Ask yourself, Dave, frankly, how much time can you dedicate to LinkedIn on a regular basis per week? And even if you say 5 minutes, that's fine. But I would ask you, can you commit to 5 minutes for 6 months? Because you would get a lot more traction, a lot more exposure, a lot more recognition if you do this rather than have a whole weekend or 48 hours of a LinkedIn binge and then you forget about it for 6 months. So consistency for me is way, way more important than the time you spend on LinkedIn. And if you only if you have only 5 minutes a week, then what I would do basically is just go to the notifications and see whether one of your important connections, someone from your network, has updated their profile. Maybe they've been promoted to a new position. Maybe they left the company and have moved elsewhere, or they have a birthday today, yesterday, or tomorrow. And strengthening your relationship with that VIP or that individual, that influencer, is the most important thing I would consider to do on LinkedIn. And the best way to do it is not to send a meaningless congrats like 452 people have done, but taking the time to visit that person's profile and actually read. Maybe you read that they updated their profile today and they moved to General Dynamics, but it doesn't mean they started working for General Dynamics today. Maybe they actually started 3 months ago. So if they started 3 or 6 months ago, it wouldn't make sense to say congrats. You would rather ask, how have you been? Can I be of help? Because maybe something is moving there and maybe the person is actually looking for something else. And if you want to wish them a happy birthday, the biggest secret is leaving LinkedIn. When it's important, you reach out to that person via email for most people and you ask how you've been, and then you can strengthen your relationship with that person. So if you're listening to this and on September 5th, you want to reach out to Dave, please don't message Dave on LinkedIn.
It's true, because on my birthday, I'm getting thousands of messages, and actually it becomes something of a chore because I know for me, I take the time to actually respond to all of those, and I have to dedicate time a day or two later, an hour or two, to individually respond to everyone. So I will admit I'm not spending very much time on those because I have a lot, and I want to take the time to respond to everybody, but that's a lot of people, so it's not getting as much time. Let's be a little expansive, though. If I'm trying to be a power user, right? Your example is the, like, well, that's 5 minutes a week. Okay, we know I'm not going to get very much out of that, and that diving in and doing something very small. Let's say that I'm going to be a little bit more generous, right? And I'm going to spend something more like 15 minutes a day, right? That's a chunk of my day investing in there. What do I do with that time? What are the most the things that I should spend my time doing that are the most valuable?
Excellent. So in that order, I would focus on your presence and then your connection strategy and then your content strategy and lastly, your lead generation. By presence, I mean improving your profile. Let's say you've already done that. Then decide about your connection strategy. Would you go for quality or would you go for quantity? And try not to stay in between, because most managers, they fear and they don't want to make a choice. So they end up having very little of either. If you want quality, you need to have 30,000 connections. If you want quality, you need to know your network, your connections. And if I see that we share a mutual connection and I ask them, should I speak with Dave? The worst answer is Dave who? And the best answer, of course, you need to speak with him because he could help you grow your company. And you're responsible for the way your profile looks. And you're also responsible for the names that people see as their mutual connections. The third level would be the content strategy, and lead generation would be what you generally do on a daily basis.
So let's dive in a little bit more on what you mean with the kind of connection strategy, because I feel like that was the most important point right there. And I want to make sure I dwell on it a little bit. You're essentially advocating that when you go into this, you need to pick one of two strategies. The first strategy would be a highly curated network where I'm focused on everything being quality, and I know I can verify that I have that relationship and I've maintained it and it's a real thing, versus the other strategy, which would be the volume game, right? I am trying to be connected to as many people as possible. Give us a little bit of the reasons why to choose one strategy, the first strategy or the second strategy.
Excellent. That's a great question. Let me try to answer that. Most managers start with quality. They start by connecting with people they know well. But then they end up hearing that they need to grow their network. And let me give you an example. Say I had my network was made of 300 people I knew really well. And I heard that I needed to grow my network, and I increased my network tenfold. Now I have 3,000 connections, most of whom I don't really know. When I did this, I thought I would get exposure, but maybe 2% of my network will actually see what it is that I shared. So you need to make a choice. The simplest way to think about it, would you like to be the best connected or the most connected? When you had 300 connections, you didn't have a lot of exposure, but you had trust. That mutual connection could vouch for you. It could encourage your prospect to reach out to you. When you have 30,000 connections, you don't have a lot of trust, but you have extensive and substantial exposure. What happens when you have 3,000 connections is that you have very little marginal exposure, and you water down the trust because you no longer know most of your network. So don't veer. You will lose on both trust and exposure. Pick one for the long term.
All right, so let's make the last bit very actionable. We know instinctually that a lot of people are in exactly the boat you've just described. They're probably hovering in some space where they have not picked one. It's obvious to me to the choice of, well, if you're going for the broad, well, you just keep going, right? You just keep adding. What's your advice to somebody who's in that spot that then says, all right, I want to now move towards being this more curated quality network? Are you advising them to go through an activity and drop connections?
Okay, so I have a specific resource about that. Maybe we could discuss that later. One quick thing we could consider is using what LinkedIn launched as the creator mode, and that would enable you to be followed by default by more people, so your content could be seen by thousands of people without diluting or polluting the quality of your network. That would take you 30 seconds. And then once you do that, you need to take a hard look at your network and ask yourself, if I needed help from that gentleman or that lady, would I be able to even reach out to them? And if someone asks them about me, what are they going to say? Because it's not that they don't necessarily help you. They might harm you, not because they would badmouth you, but because they would not be able to add anything. And if I ask someone, then I'm asking questions that are not... I can't answer the question just by reading your profile. I ask about you as a person.
So, are they considering dropping connections? Is that a legitimate strategy here?
Yes, if you decided in the long term you want to be the best connected, then what you could do on your way is analyzing the people that you connected with in the past and don't necessarily know, and maybe identify 10% of them that look most promising for you looking ahead, and maybe start a conversation with them. Maybe you could turn some of them virtual connections into real life connections simply by visiting their profile, seeing what they're up to. And if you feel you can generally start a conversation, you need to have a system, either before you connect or after you connect. The system doesn't have to be Daniel's or Dave's, or you need to pick your own. You need to tweak it to serve you. But if you have a system, you're better than 99% of LinkedIn users.
Well, my audience knows a lot about systems, so that seems like a great place to leave them. Now, Daniel, if people are looking for a little bit more information, where's a great place for them to start?
Thank you very much. DanielAlphon.com is the best place to start.
If you got value from that, Daniel's been generous enough to provide a free resource, one of his paid resources available to listeners and watchers. That link is in the description. Go ahead and just follow it and you'll get access to that free resource. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.